Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks. We thank you for your love and kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God, we thank you for being our Father, our Adonai. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for blessing us, providing for us, protecting us. Lord God, and today we thank you for our fathers, good fathers, loving fathers. We thank you, God, and for men who have not been good fathers, Lord, we pray for them. We pray that you would have mercy upon them, and if they're young fathers, to teach them by your Holy Spirit how to be better fathers. Lord God, have mercy upon us this day. Watch over us. Order our steps and direct our path. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And yesterday's Father's Day, and I want to begin by reading this brief reflection on a father's secret journal. There was a man who was a good husband and dad. He loved his family faithfully, was always around, steady, and took care of them. His influence, even if wasn't realized, was central in everyone's life. But his family didn't fully appreciate the scope of his love until one day when they found his journal. Upon opening it, they could see the backstory to their memories. Their happy experiences were intricately planned and carefully executed. He even reflected about how glad he was that he gave his wife and children such joy. When they could see the backstory, these previously hidden details in the journal, the family was filled with a new kind of appreciation for their dad and husband. They were welcomed into the quiet place of intentional planning and loving execution. They could see how they were central to everything that he had done. Thumbing through the journal, they realized his love for them engulfed their entire experience. The dad had loved them quietly and taken care of them and his wife, and they did not quite know the impact of it until they found his secret journal. Sometimes men don't always get a good rap. Sometimes we minimize them, and then we come to realize. There's a question. Shit, they gave me that. They're doing that. Next slide. I don't think they. Next slide, men, please. There's a question I saw on the internet, and this question has been asked many times in when you go to seminars and in churches and in the nation. Why are there so few men in the church? My sermon today is the role of men in the church. That men do have a role in the church and need to be in the church, whether they are fathers or single men or young boys. Why are there so few men in the church? The writer says, on any given Sunday, all across the world, churches are likely to have more women in the pews than men. Some estimate place the so-called gender gap in America at 61% women versus 39% men in the churches. Gender gap. When I look out at this church, sometimes I think we're blessed that we do have men coming to church here. There's some churches you go to, and all you have are, I mean, I'm talking about mainline churches, right? Because that's the mainline church that I attend, that I work. And some of the non-denominational are probably different. But the mainline churches, they're predominantly women, right? Women. And some churches you go to, you don't even, you're a woman and older woman, predominantly. But this church is a little bit different because there are men who come to church here with their families, right? You see the young families and those where their kids are already gone, but they brought their kids here, and the husbands and wife are still coming to church. That, you know, and it continues. It says that means that means every Sunday there are millions more women attending church than men. Now here's some of the reasons why. And leaders in churches, we need to think of that. We did try here. I did try here to get a men's group going. When not me per se, because you want men to do. When Ricky was here, they began to try to get a men's group going, and they met like once a couple of times downstairs. Do you remember, men, those who went to the meeting, trying to get a men's group going outside of your own culture? You cannot just meet within your culture. You have to embrace all the men in the church, right? If I'm Jamaican and I am going to meet with the other Jamaican and the next Jamaican, then I'm not really doing what the Lord expects me to do, right? A men's ministry, a men's group is not a closed society. God is talking about all men. So when we sit together of the same group and just talk together, we're not doing what the Lord says, right? We have to. That's how we learn about God and how we learn about each other. Some of the reasons. It says here there are several theories put forward for why, comparatively, there are so few men attending church. One theory is that the church's teachings emphasizing humility, holiness, and introspection are seen by men as weak or somehow less than masculine. Now, if you really are looking at TV now and seeing the image of men that they send out, right? You probably say to yourself, a man, I've never been in a man's body, but I could just see and look at it and say, why would I go to church? Right? Because it's always looking at strong men and men doing the heroes and you know, to be praying to someone, to be asking, even if men want to pray and need to pray, that's not what they're projecting in the culture. In the culture. The other churches who are doing it, you see it in the non-denominational, and you used to see it a lot in the Methodist church, because the United Methodist Men used to be a very huge organization. Just like the United Methodist Women, who's now called Women of Faith, right? Used to be very big, and in many years ago, right? United Methodist Men, and they did great things. And the church I came out of in Brooklyn, they had a big United Methodist Men in those days. But as time has gone by, men are not getting involved. But I'm going to make some point here. So they said they're considered weak. You know, if you see a man who talk about, you know, introspective and thinking, the culture says, you know, what's their problem, right? Men shouldn't cry. Men should always be strong. Next point, he says men are looking to be challenged with a bold message of adventure, danger, and aggressiveness, right? They need in certain areas, this, you know, we're men and we could do this. Next point, finding the right activities to attract men is also a challenge for many churches. Some congregations make an extra effort to provide times of fellowship and bonding for men by adding hunting expeditions, fishing trips, sports, etc., or their on their schedules, to their schedules. And remember, men, church, when men meet, it doesn't mean they meet with you, their wives and them. Right? It doesn't mean that a man is meeting and he's got to bring his wife to the meeting. No, it won't work. Right? Men need to meet as men. And women need not to be there. And when women meet in the church, I'm talking as women, women need not to be there. And when women meet as women in the women's group, we don't have any problem, right? Because men don't show up. But let the men start meeting, and then the wives start coming along to listen and to do what? No, it doesn't work. Because do you know when we stand before God, we don't stand before God as a unit? When we get to heaven, we don't stand before God as together. We stand alone. Men and women, when we get to heaven, we are not holding on to each other and going in. We're going in alone, each and every one of us, right? So there is something that is necessary for women, men to come together. It says another theory is, yes, of course men could go on fishing trips together. Talk about things. We don't have to hear everything they're talking about. Another theory is that many churches knowingly or unknowingly create a feminine atmosphere with their decor. I smiled at that when I read it. And I noticed in many of the non-denominational churches, their decor now are very bland, right? You know they're different in their architecture because they don't have, which is cultural and modern, so to speak. You do not see a church being built now, even when it's a Methodist church, that has stained glass anymore, right? They don't build them anymore. They can't afford them, I would imagine. Maybe it's too expensive, but the non-denominational, you do not see, and I shouldn't say that, the New England churches, the early New England churches, part of their theology. Remember, the very early New England churches did not believe in stained glass windows, right? If you read church history, they did not believe in it. They thought it was, you know, sacrilegious and things. So when you go up to New England and you see some of those early churches, 300 years old, 200, they don't have any. Those are the Church of Christ. They don't. But anyway, they think the decor, not just the windows, that the decor are feminine. A little bit too feminine, and it creates an atmosphere that they really don't like. The floral arrangements and the pastel colors and the frilly curtains and the pictures of passive pastoral scenes make a peaceful ambience, but they tend to make men feel a disconnect. Did you see here what that young boy said, Grayson, when I says his father is a, when he said, somebody said the father is adorable. And he says, oh no, right? Because he doesn't think of his father as what? Adorable. It's a feminine word to him, right? He's already learning that you wouldn't say, you know, my father is adorable. That's what the culture is already, right? Because you see, you wouldn't say a football player on the screen is adorable. So they begin, right? Look at that adorable guy kicking the ball. Right? You know what I'm saying. He just scored a touchdown. Look how adorable he is. Right? You know what I'm saying. It wouldn't happen. We need men in the church. Some churches attempt to appeal to the masculine sensibilities by changing their decor and making it edgier and darker, more robust and less nurturing. Could you imagine the fights that would be in churches? Women and men fighting about the decor. We don't have to worry about that. There are other things that men could do that we need to do in our churches. The gospel confronts our need, and men are often adverse to admitting to neediness, right? When you see a man who really prays, you see something, right? That really prays in public. They pray. Men will pray at home, I'm sure. Next slide. And so I want to get to what Jesus did. Remember, friends, in this gospel we just heard, men, there were 12 disciples that Jesus called first. And there were 12 men. We know the women were there. Nobody wrote, well, we came on later, it seems, from what the gospel narrative says. But we probably were there all along, because all of those men had to have wives. But when Jesus called, as we read in all four gospels, he called the men. Right? He called 12 men. What does that tell us? It tells us that what? Men are important to the gospel story. Men are needed in the church just like women are. We are not the only one that God called. Jesus just didn't die. He didn't say, for God so loved the world, he died for the woman. And the woman who believe in him should not perish. He says, he loved all of us. And Jesus called 12 men to work with them because uncertainly he was in a patriarchal society. And he knew at that point that if he didn't get the men on board, right, the family wouldn't be on board in those days. And we're living now again in a culture where a lot of young men are in trouble. A lot of men. They say the highest percentage of suicide is committed by young men. Higher than women. They need something else. Some of them are forced to be, just because of the culture, to be what they are not, right? To be what they can't live up to, because there's a macho kind of, you know, either you're macho or you're the other way. You're macho or you're gay. It's somehow just being a man who's a good man is not looked up at again anymore as something to be proud of with these young men. The church has work to do, because men are important. There's a role for men in the Bible. And we see it in the gospel. Jesus with the 12 disciples speaking to the men. I want to talk about the importance of men today to the gospel, to the spreading of the gospel. Next slide. Right? The sermon. The role of men in the church. Jesus called 12 men to be his disciples. And the mission, what was the mission of the 12? If you summarize that gospel we just heard, Jim read, so beautifully. If you summarize it, it says, proclaim the good news. Jesus was telling the men to go and proclaim the good news. Now, men, some of you have sat on your hand and you would never go tell somebody about Jesus. You're leaving it up to the woman. Men, you're leaving it up to the woman. Only the woman can to go talk about Jesus. Right? But men, God wants you to talk about Jesus too. Didn't just make us. Right? Wants us to talk about Jesus. Some of our Methodist church, the one I came out of, that had a big choir, they had a men's choir. And when those, in the old days, in the Methodist church, right, Nancy? In those days, my Lord, and when you hear those men sing, it brings tears to your eyes. Those couple of men who came here to sing, one of the main ones, he was they had a gospel choir, a youth choir, the senior choir, and they had men's choir. Vanderbilt Park, and when you hear those men sing, oh, tears come to your eyes just to hear them sing of the goodness of God. A lot of the Methodist churches, or the Episcopal, the mainline churches that are, but certainly the Methodist churches, had big men's choir. And they would be proclaiming the good news to the singing, right? And men are called to proclaim the good news in their home, to their families, Oh, men, we got to work. Men, I'm talking to all of you, especially these young men. I know you bring your families to church, and that's good. And you come with your children and your wives and so, but you got to do some more work for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Shalom, I see you looking at me and smiling. And I'm looking directly at all of you. Right? You got to do hard work to bring folks in. A new pastor is coming. Lots of things have been done in the church now. It is in relatively deep, good shape. This church, better than many, it's going to be up to men to help to bring what? Spread the good news. Whichever way you choose, plan a revival. Don't be told by the woman all the time. Leave us out of it. Right? People may think many times I want to start things here. When I started with Ricky and they'd be calling me, I says, leave me out of it. Go meet by yourself. Now, men, Jesus said, heal the sick. To the 12, you could pray for the sick and heal the sick, men. Pray and God will use you. It's not just us. Do you think we're different from you? We're so special to God. You're all special to God, men. Special to God. And then he wants us to be humble, or humility. Men, to have humility. That's not just a woman thing. And certainly to show hospitality. Now I think our men here who are going down, they go downstairs and they help out with the food. And so I think they got a little handle in showing hospitality. I think you're very hospitable men here. And you're giving and you're pleasant. And you're nice. You certainly are to me. And to the rest of the church. And did you just hear that the Southern Baptists have voted that women cannot preach in the pulpit? In this time, they just had the big convention, and there were people fighting against it, you know, and they voted again now, again in 2023, the Southern Baptists, you know, that women not allowed to preach. Thank God I'm not a Southern Baptist. You see, people says I'm a Baptist. They have no clue what they mean. There's Southern Baptist. There's AB. There's Northern. There's the Northern Baptist. There's all National Baptists. They're all kind of Baptists. And if a Baptist is, the Baptists appear and are part of the Southern Baptist. Southern Baptist is called Southern Baptist for a reason, because it's in the South and it's super conservative. Amen? Women are relegated to teaching Sunday schools and things like that. But we Methodists in 1956 or something, you know, no matter what trouble is happening in the world, people may say we're fighting over this and that, it's going to be happening in the Methodist Church. And women and men came together and they fought at our general conference so that women could have the right, 1965, to preach. Amen. Right? Methodists will fight for everything. Now we're on the issue of homosexuality. You can't blame them because they're going to be fighting. Whatever side they come out of, Methodists is not going to leave it alone. It is not part of their culture. Sometimes we wish they would, but they won't. But there it is, and we're allowed to preach as women. But that withstanding, man, if you were in a Southern Baptist, you'd have to be all involved. But we want you to be involved here. Next slide. Now, the only way you're going to be able, men, beloved of God, I'm looking at all the beloved men of the Lord, you have to start praying in church. I don't mean sitting at your seat and praying. Do you remember last year? Well, we had Ricky praying. I called him up on Sunday and says, Ricky, you could come up here and pray too. And Ricky prayed so many times in the service. Right here, because men, the only way you're gonna be what? Make disciples, you gotta be able to be prayed up. And men, you gotta be bold enough to stand up here in the church and pray if the Lord has called you to do that. But men, when you come together, you're coming together to pray. The first thing, to pray together without your wives and your children. To be able to sit together, men, and pray together. It is not just our duty. Man, I want to leave you with this word in this church. You can pray together. Talk about things that troubles you from a man's perspective. Get together and pray together, men. A man who prays is powerful. And men who pray together are a force that the devil cannot come up against. Amen. Pray together, men. Pray for your children. Pray for your schools. Pray for your church. Pray for yourself. Pray for your nation. Pray for the young men who are coming up. Pray, men. God has called you to pray. Next slide. And men, you study the Bible. I know you read it at home with your husband and your children, read with your wife and your children, but you could have a men Bible study, and it should be led by men. Right? It should be that you come together and you decide to study a book of the Bible, man, and you study it together from a man's perspective. Study the word together, men. Talk about it. See what God is teaching you, and then you could come back and teach it to your children. You are not exempt from this work. Men, you are not exempt. God wants you to know today that He loves you, and He called you, and He died for all of you. And you're getting into heaven, but you got to do some work. You'll hear the well done, but to God, just like how we have to work, you have to work. Yes, men should serve in the church, and we have many here who are serving in the church, and we thank God for that. But I'm talking about your spiritual growth now, right, men? Your spiritual growth. If I was going to be here, men, I'd be telling you all the night before I'm calling you up here to preach. I think God is waiting to hear from some of you, calling you, some of you here to pray. And I'd be fasting and praying to get one of you all to come up here and bring the word. Praise God. We got little Sky doing it now, but God is waiting on men to get more involved in the church and in the nation. Praying for these young men. Next slide. And men, my last point on this is you could have a men's ministry. Maybe you'll meet every quarter. It doesn't mean that you have to meet every Sunday. You could meet every quarter, every 6 months, whatever. But you come together as men to do the work of the Lord. And can you imagine, men, that you may go out there, go somewhere, and you'll be bold enough to say something to another young man about Jesus. You know, men listen to other men. Be empowered to do what God has called you to do. And so, friends, again, we're glad you're here. I am so glad today that I'm not looking at a group of people in the church, and it's only women. Sisters, no problem. I'm glad you're here. But I'm happier that there are men here. Right? I mean, I like my sisters. You know, I get along better with men than women. I always have. I always say they don't drive you nuts. But we could drive each other nuts. So I'm glad you're here today, men. I'm glad that you're here with us and among us. I'm going to say a little prayer for you now. As my last slide says here, reaching the lost for Jesus. Then he said to his disciples, were the 12 men, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. He's calling a new man. So I get done here. My brothers, you're all my brothers in Christ. We're all from the same daddy, right? Called God. Same father. Amen? And God loves you just as he loves me and love every woman. And you are precious to God. And you are fathers today. I think maybe all of you are fathers. God has made you good fathers, because I see you with your children, or your children are grown, but we have met them and so on. God loves the men, women. Let us say it together, women. God loves the men. Right? God loves them. And we love them. Amen? I see somebody giving her husband a hug. Yes, because God loves them. Right? God, and we know Marlena loves Dick. God loves the men. Amen? And we're glad that they're here. So let us pray for the men. Oh, loving and gracious God, we just thank you on this Father's Day for the men that are in our church, the fathers and the young ones who may not be fathers, or those who have never had any children but have been good and faithful men. Lord, we thank you. What a blessing it is that in these times when churches are empty, yet Exhale United Methodist Church has a good percentage of men bringing their children and their wives to church, coming to church with them. Lord, we pray blessings upon each and every man here today, those who are watching online, those who will yet come. We pray that you will empower them to meet together, empower them to come up with ways to spread the gospel right here in their local church and their local community. Lord God, let them feel your loving arms around them. And let them be reminded that you'll never leave them nor forsake them. Because God, you love them. You sent Jesus Christ to die for them. And we're so thankful. We're so thankful for the men who have worked hard in this church, who have gone home to be with you. And we're thankful for the men who are not here today, who have worked hard in this church, like Cordaker and Cordaker and others. We pray for them, Lord God. Bless each man here. Cover them under the blood of Jesus. Let no harm come near them, Lord God. And bless them, continue to bless them with long life and health and strength, so they can and will continue to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. We pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.